May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The prophet Isaiah has cast some pretty inspiring images for us in this Advent season, or rather, God has cast some pretty inspiring images for us through the faithful words of the prophet Isaiah. Weapons of war made into instruments for growth, for cultivating new life, for growing things. A vision of peace. A dried up old lifeless stump sprouts with a new promising green shoot, an image of hope. A barren and lifeless desert wilderness that suddenly runs with fresh water and blooms with flowers, an image of joy. And this week, a child on the way, an image of love. Now, the props for this week, I've set up something different each Sunday. The props for this week were especially easy for me to come by. I just brought them right from my house this morning. Felix didn't mind if we borrowed them. But the props for our visual this week, well, they also needed a little bit of cleaning before I brought them in. And don't take too close of a look, especially at the high chair. It might look very nice from where you're sitting now. But it was covered in crusted food, of course, you know, like they are. There's stains on these things. Our typical picture of the Holy Family, of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, it's a peaceful picture, right? It's serene, and they seem content and happy. And they probably were like that after the birth was over and things had settled down. But I have a kid now. I can't be fooled anymore. There are moments like that when all is calm and bright, right? And you're counting fingers and toes and kissing and sighing. But in reality, babies are mostly messy. The gunk that I had to, no, not me, the gunk that Dan cleaned off the high chair this morning proves that. And birth, contrary to that one little sentence, did you notice that one sentence at the end of our gospel reading? And she bore a son? Well, contrary to that one little simple sentence that the Gospel of Matthew gives us, birth is never quite so simple or clean or straightforward. Birth is messy. And though the Gospel of Matthew might kind of obscure the messiness of birth and of babies, there is one thing that this gospel gets right. The messiness of families. The story that's before us today, when we really look closely at it and delve into those details, it's not a story that's sweet or tender or calm and bright. In today's gospel, Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant before they are married and living together. And for a woman in their time and place, that may well be a death sentence. If an engaged woman is found to be pregnant by someone other than her betrothed, there are two possibilities for Joseph. One, if she was assaulted by a man outside the city, well, then she may have yelled for help and no one heard, so she can't be considered culpable. Only the man will be stoned. Or two, if she was assaulted by a man within the city, well, then certainly she was a guilty party in this because someone would have heard her crying for help. So they will both be stoned to death. And let's note for a moment that these are laws in our own Bible and that neither of these options are actually seeking what's best for the woman. The woman is property. A marriage is an exchange of property. The husband-to-be shouldn't have to question the validity of his future descendants. That's what those laws are for. But Joseph, we're told, is a righteous man. We might wonder what this righteous man thinks when he first hears the news. And even who he hears it from. Is this like a vicious rumor that's running through the town? Is it a cousin that likes to gossip? Joseph may well wonder just where things went wrong. Perhaps he's left with feelings of betrayal and disappointment, frustrated that things are not turning out as he planned and hoped for. So Joseph, being a righteous man, he decides not to follow the laws of his people. He decides to cover this up without an investigation of where Mary might have been assaulted and who was involved. Joseph decides to end the engagement quietly. I wonder what the gossipers might have thought of that. What we have in our story from the Gospel of Matthew today is not the image of a peaceful, joyful, calm, and bright holy family, all ablaze with the love and promise that a new child brings. What we have in our story from the Gospel of Matthew today is an image of two families brokenhearted, two families publicly embarrassed. It's an image of betrayal and distrust, disappointment and disillusionment, an engagement broken, and a child to be born whose father is unknown. The situation of this family is messy. And that is exactly the moment when the angel arrives. That messy, mixed up moment is exactly the time when God decides to break into the story. That is the family and the situation into which Christ chooses to be born. Jesus is not born to the perfect Joseph and Mary depicted on our Christmas cards. Jesus is not born to some beautiful stained glass couple. Jesus is born into a family that is imperfect and sometimes fearful. The author of the Gospel of Matthew is careful to point that out, and not only here, but at the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, too. To start the whole story of who Jesus is, who he was, what he did, Matthew begins to list the genealogy of Jesus. Now, genealogies, they're not usually very interesting, right? Especially in the Bible, so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so, right? That's how it goes. But if you know how to read this one, it's actually pretty revealing. First of all, Jesus' genealogy contains four women, which should strike us as strange because that's not the practice throughout the whole Old Testament. Genealogies typically just go through the father's line. But the women who are included in Jesus' genealogy are even stranger. First, Tamar. Tamar, a daughter of King David, but who is mostly known for having been raped by her half-brother. Rahab, a foreign prostitute who helps the Israelite army to gain victory. Ruth, a widowed foreign woman from a country that's often considered the enemy of the Hebrew people. Bathsheba, the wife of King David, whose story is complicated, to say the least. The Gospel of Matthew wants us to know that Joseph and Mary, they are part of a long line of mixed up and imperfect and complicated people in Jesus' family tree. God chooses to come among people who are imperfect and doubtful, like us. God chooses to be born not to the it couple that has it all together with a noble heritage and an uncomplicated family tree, but to a young, inexperienced wife and mother, and a righteous but doubting husband. It may sound strange, but that is the good news for us here today on this fourth Sunday of Advent. The good news is that babies are messy. Families are messy. Our lives are messy, sometimes even scary. And it's in that messiness that is just the place that Jesus chooses to show up. We have broken families or mended families or blended families. We have kids born out of marriages and marriages that don't work out. We have rifts that have grown between us and our loved ones. Some of us have known sexual assault. We have our own doubts that God works through us or that God is at work in the world at all. We have trouble finding that hope that the prophet Isaiah speaks about and the joy that all those Christmas carols proclaim. And of course, the world beyond our own hearts and our own homes is no less messy. We do not live in a world that is a simple, beautiful, snow-covered wonderland. We are not a world or a people who fit the mold of the Christmas card family. And neither were Mary and Joseph. We can focus on the majesty in today's story because it's there, the appearance of an angel sent from God to Joseph in a dream. But if we only focus on the majesty of that image, we might very well miss the real flesh and blood man that that angel came to speak to, the very earthly father of Jesus, an ordinary man with doubts and fears, an ordinary man trying to do his best with what his lot in life has been, with a situation that feels out of his control. The sooner we realize that Joseph and Mary are not stained glass windows or Christmas card pictures, but real flesh and blood people like us, the sooner we can realize that we are real flesh and blood people like them. And just as God chose to work in the world through them, so God chooses to work in the world through us. And just as God chooses to arrive in the real mess of a real birth and a real baby and real lives, so God chooses to continue to arrive in the midst of our messy hearts and homes and world. Thanks be to God. Amen.